And everybody can hear me okay?
Is mine working?
Yes. So let me just explain something before I start. This is not like the Today Show or whatever. So it's a little more formal. And one of the things that is part of the protocol is that everything that happens, anything that is on the tape, since it is an audio interview, has to be explained. So if we hear the sounds from Psycho, which is what that sounded like, then that's going to have to be explained on the transcript. And if we're making too much noise and the neighbors call the police, then we're going to have to say, you know, the buzzer sounded and the police ran. So just so you know, and we are going to, when we get to the end of the interview, it's always bookended by starting, saying the date and the time that you start and the time that you stop. Once I press an end, we are going to open it up to questions. So be thinking while you're listening. There may be something that I'm not going into that you really want to know about, Victoria. Maybe this will just open up some avenues. And without further ado, let's hit it. Today is August 5th, 2011, and the time is 7:54 p.m. This is Meg Cox, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Victoria Finley Wolf. We are at her loft apartment in New York City. So Victoria, tell me about the quilt that you brought today to talk about.
The quilt that I wanted to talk about is the one hanging over here behind us. It's called the Everything But the Kitchen Sink quilt. It started about 15 years ago. I sometimes was just a sort of a frivolous quilter, and I was at a point where I was making a lot of quilts for my daughter and making clothes. I did children's clothes for a little while, and I wanted to make her some quilts when she was a baby, and I ended up making about 20 of them. I didn't like any of them because none of them were perfect for my kid, of course. So I cut them all up and then accumulated many orphan blocks along the way, and the quilt started to grow from that. And when I was looking at quilts and not really knowing much about making a quilt, the only quilts I had in my house were quilts of my grandmother's, who was a crazy quilter. And so that's how this quilt started, was trying to mimic what my grandmother did, because it was the only thing I knew of a homemade quilt, because that's what I had.
So you brought this because it speaks to your process, how you became more deeply involved?
Yeah, it definitely was the start of the obsession of quilting. I had started, if you look at the bottom of that quilt, there's a strip where I was looking at my grandmother's work, and I was trying to duplicate what she did, and I got so bored and so frustrated trying to do it. It wasn't my way, and so I wanted to figure out how to do that, and I couldn't. I got frustrated. I put it away, I put it in a box, and I didn't pull it out for about 12 years later. So in 2009, I pulled it out, and that's where I had accumulated so much more orphan blocks, and then just started playing with it.
What do you think this quilt says about you? If somebody came and saw this quilt, what would they think about you as a quilter?
There are techniques in there that I had never done before. There's probably about 100 Y seams in that quilt. Then, like, if you want to learn how to do a difficult seam, that's the way you do it. You just go for it. Applique was something I hadn't done since I was in junior high school. So it's a learning process to me in that quilt. Trying to do letters I've put in there, the applique, the antique blocks that I've collected. I'm a painter by trade previously, so I was trying to figure out the color balance, how to make all these work, and put it all together. I mean, it was a complete learning experience, and so it kind of sums up a large portion of my life, including getting married and having a family and moving to New York, and it just 15 years of my life.
How do you use this quilt in your life?
It lives on my bed. It's like my one quilt that I'm so attached to that it's not going anywhere, it's staying here, it gets used.
So your interest in quilt making was originally sparked by your grandmother?
Definitely sparked by that. My father is an upholstery, has an upholstery business in Minnesota. I grew up on a farm in Minnesota, and we had the upholstery business also on a farm. My mother was a seamstress for Finger Hut. I don't know if anyone knows Finger Hut out here, but that's why my grandmother has all these quilts made out of polyester double knit. If you want polyester double knit clothes, you go to Finger Hut. And then my grandmother was the crazy quilter. In Minnesota, you had about 5 of these quilts on your bed because it's cold. And we didn't have heat in our house. We heated our house with wood stoves. So we would have 5 of these quilts on your bed, and I'd stare at them all night long. You know, I'm obsessed about them.
Was she the only family member who built it?
Yeah, my mother would make quilts periodically. If someone's getting married, then she would make a quilt. But generally, she was more a seamstress.
So you said, teach me, and you started it?
Oh yeah, I started sewing. I had one of those, I don't know if it was Barbie, it was those sewing machines that had a glue cartridge that you put in, so you tried to sew Barbie clothes and it would dot glue on the fabric. That was like my first sewing machine. That really works well, by the way. It doesn't. And then I moved up from there gradually. I would steal my father's fabric scraps from the upholstery sample books. And I sewed those together. I remember him teaching me how to do a blind stitch. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world because you couldn't tell then. You didn't have a seam on the outside finishing it up. So I thought that was pretty cool because it looked like my dad's work then.
Did you ever make a quilt for the Barbie?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember. I don't know that it exists anymore. Anyway.
So your first quilt memory would probably be those polyester quilts on the bed, keeping you warm.
Yeah, and they were heavy.
How much time do you spend quilting now? How big a part of your life is it?
All day, all night. My husband's up in Canada right now, so I would stay up all night if I could. No, I sew all day long. She's up at hours at school. I sew when she goes to school. Like she comes home, she finishes, goes to bed. I go back to sewing and I finish things. I work all night if I can. It's an obsession. You know that. Everybody knows it.
Would you talk a little bit about the modern quilt movement and how you came to be involved with that?
That's kind of interesting. I was a little bit clueless to it. It had been around for about 6 months, hadn't heard anything about it. And a friend of mine, Amy Drucker, said, how come we don't have this in New York? We need a guild. Let's do this. You want to do this? And I was like, okay. And like 20 minutes later, our site was up. And within an hour, we had like 20 members.
And this was
immediately. This was a year and a half ago. So within 20 minutes, we had all these people on the site. I see all a bunch of you sitting here. And it's grown very rapidly. We've been meeting here in the apartment after you were just now setting up as an official guild. And we have over 150 members. We're working on a new website. So we're just taking off and challenges and getting more people, and community has been a huge part of it. And it's been great.
How do you define it for you? For you, what is it about?
I think for me personally, it's keeping all the rules open. I consider myself a very traditional quilter. I started sewing very young. I know patchwork and working with and doing stuff by hand. But at the same time, as an artist, I want to try different things. And I think maybe the modern movement is incorporating that more for everybody, that it's okay to just kind of do your thing. And I think it's all-inclusive. I think it includes the art quilter, it includes the beginner quilter, the traditional quilter who wants to try something new. The fabric designers are a big part of it. The more color I can get, the happier I am. That works for me very much so.
Can you you talk a little bit about your creative process and even refer to it as art? Were you conscious of that for a long time?
Yeah. We had this talk the other day about how, you know, what was important, if it was the process that was more important to you or if the finished object was more important. But to me, it's as an artist, it's definitely the process. It's all about starting the quilts and where it's going. I rarely have a plan when I start something. I'll start with one little piece and it'll grow. And I don't ever know where I'm going with it. It's constantly, rather like when I'm working on a painting, if I'm sort of an empty canvas, I'll start small and it gets big, and I tend to go big often.
So with a quilt, do you start with the color? Do you start with the pattern? Do you start with a, what is your impulse?
It can be anything. Sometimes it's a memory of somebody. This was a memory of my grandmother. She sat working in a rocking chair. So this actually started out as something like a traditional cheddar crackers quilt in the squares with the orange blocks. And I couldn't make it. It was just too normal. So I started playing, and the next thing I knew, I had something completely different, thinking about my grandmother and from watching her sew. So something that would be the inspiration. Or, like I said, looking at my grandmother's quilt was the inspiration, or finding a color combination. And one thing I really love is every time I say, if there's something I would never do a purple and gold quilt. Those are my high school colors. I hated those colors, purple and gold. I don't know who ever thought they went together. And as soon as I said I didn't like those colors together, I think I made five quilts of purple and gold. So that's a great inspiration.
So you challenge yourself.
Any challenge, I love a challenge. So that's one of the things I love to do most. So if I'm doing a commission quilt, sometimes people will just give me a word, and that just sends me off on a tangent. Yeah, I'm good with that.
That was a great segue. I was just about to ask you, how did you get involved in the commission business, and what do you have? Are you known for a certain style? Do people just see your work and say, I want one? How does it work?
It's been mostly word of mouth. A lot of my painting commissions, those people, it's rolled over into quilts because they want to know what I'm doing now, and I'm making quilts, and they're confused at first until they see them and they want me. But often, like I said, I don't want to be giving a lot of information. Like I had one person who asked, they wanted red quilts. They wanted red. That was the inspiration. So I cleaned out my stash bins of every red I had. The cloud that was for baby quilts, and went off on a tangent on that. I had a President Obama quilt that was made. Someone wanted to honor that. So it's never a lot of not a lot from the commission itself. And when I do a commission, I don't, you know, there's no deposit or something, so that I'm going to make it. And if they want to purchase it after it's made, they're able to. If not, I'm just as happy to keep it. So
that's so interesting. Now, I know that as well, you were involved in and started a charity related to quilts. So you really are living, eating, breathing the quilt thing. Could you talk a little bit about that, how that got started, and where that is?
Yeah, that was kind of funny. The blog world is a very interesting place. I had a couple, we always have extra quilts, all quilters we got, we want quilts than we need. And I had some extra quilts laying here, and I have a friend who runs a program called Basics up in the Bronx, who works with getting homeless families back into transitional housing here in the city. And I asked him one day, do you need any quilts? Thinking I could give him two or three that I had. And he turned around and he said, do you have 700? That was not what I expected him to say. Not in my wildest, I didn't even know what I thought he was going to say. So I said, well, I don't know, let me see what I can do. So I designed a house block and had asked people on my blog to make them, send them to me, and I would make a couple quilts for them. And then I got 500 quilt blocks. And that turned into 60 quilts that I made last year, which then we auctioned off and we raised over $30,000 for them.
Now, you raised it for this organization,
yes.
Basics, which...
By auctioning off those quilts for them, right. And then that had been so successful that we turned it into an ongoing quilt drive. And so we opened it up for everybody to send in completed quilts, and we received over 350 quilts. And we've had several days where we go up to the Bronx to the, each of the different housing units, and we hand distribute them, and the maker's name gets read off with the quilt and handed to them. And it's an extremely emotional and fabulous day, and I'm looking forward to doing another round of that coming up. It's amazing. The little idea that just kind of like, you think something of something that, oh, well, we can help, and all of a sudden it turns into something bigger than you imagined it, and there's nothing better than that.
Well, I think you're clearly somebody who says yes to life, so these things are going to happen. Would you talk about, what are the most pleasing aspects of quiltmaking to you?
It's the process. I don't know, it's just so fun watching all these little pieces come together. I can't throw anything away, so I save all my little pieces, and they grow from nothing into something. That's just the best. It's not even so much the finished product. I think by the time I put on that last stitch, the binding, I'm done. But I'm on to the next project.
Is there anything?
It's all the beginning to the end.
Is all that you don't like about it? Is there? It's all
putting a label on the back. That's always the thing I have to go back and do. Is put the label on.
Have advances in technology affected your work? I mean, what about the tools that you use?
A bit on spoon flower, working with fabric design. That's always interesting. I'm happy to sit and paint something or draw something, but I still believe in kind of traditional, and I like a utilitarian quilt, so I haven't really pushed myself further into going into other techniques yet. But I'll just say I'll never do something, and then I'll let you know how that turns out.
What about fabric? Where do you find your fabric?
Anywhere. Clothes, fabric shops, all the sale rounds, all my friends, whoever wants to share.
What are your favorite techniques?
I used to think I would never pick up applique ever again in my life, but I absolutely love it now. So I'm tending to do even more of that. I'm kind of surprised that I'm doing it, and I love that.
Now, we are sort of in this big loft, and this is really your living area that we've taken over, and so people can't really tell that behind this wall and really behind your quilt is your studio space where you work. So since we can't see it, would you describe it a little bit about what your work area is like?
It's a mess. Sums it up real quick. It's a couple tables. Set up in an L shape for my working with all these big quilts and my cutting table and lots of windows until the building goes up behind us and I don't have that light anymore. And lots of fabric. Lots of fabric.
Now, you were talking to me earlier about this building and the sort of being in the garment district and what this building was like when you got here. Would you share some of that?
Yeah, when we moved into this building, the neighboring building that we look into was still a sweatshop. And so for about a year, we watched all the workers sewing. And the history of all of these buildings, that's what this area was all the sweatshops, really. And so it just seems kind of funny now. When someone says that I'm very prolific and can really crank out a lot of quilts, I'm just, it's not really me, it's the ghosts of all what's contained in this neighborhood, who's been in this building before. It's kind of interesting.
Can you tell me if you, have you ever used quilts and quilting to get through a difficult time in your life?
Think of anything specifically. It's mostly joyous times. Anytime there's a baby in the family, there's a quilt being made. Anytime your friends, anytime I can share, anytime I can get something away. I do obsess over, I haven't made this yet, but I do want to make a quilt for when I die. Is that terrible?
Why is that?
Growing up in Minnesota, there was a lot of Native American funerals that we would go to, and they would sit with the body for 3 days, and the body was always wrapped in a quilt. And I just thought it was incredibly personal and special, and I thought, that's good. I'm happy with the pine box and quilt. That's good. But I don't know what that quilt would be, because I can't even decide how to make a quilt for my bed that I love, and I have my beds besides that. But I'm working on it. I think about it all the time.
I think it's a wonderful tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about sort of aesthetics and your work and beyond, but what do you think makes a great quilt?
I don't like to say there isn't any great quilts. I think whatever process anyone takes to make something, that's their process. There are no ugly quilts as far as I'm concerned. It depends on who's judging. If you're making it for some particular reason that you think you have to strive to do something, like I said, for me it's all about the process. It just feels good to make it. I don't really mind if somebody doesn't like what I've done. It's okay. You know, I like that it can just be what it is. You know, anytime I see those quilt tops in the antique store, I have to bring them home because somebody poured everything they had into that. They worked so hard to make it. It just needs to be loved.
What are the works that you are drawn to by other people? Are there other quilt makers that you admire, or are there other types of quilts that you might see in a museum or you might see in a flea market that would pull you in?
Yeah, I think it's the ones at the flea markets that I really get crazy about. I love thinking about who it was that sat there and sewed all those pieces together. It's the same kind of thing of knowing what the story was of the person who did it. Those quilts just need to be loved, and I can't leave them there. I gotta take them home.
What artists have influenced you? You've talked about being an artist and about painting and so forth, but what artists have influenced your quilting?
Well, I'm doing a Matisse quilt right now. It's not the first one I've done, so I'm definitely, Matisse is a big inspiration. Monet, his colors. I'm a big Kandinsky fan, the bright colors. And a lot of modern art. Mm-hmm. And I like the parallel a lot between some of the modern quilting now and some of the more traditional modern contemporary painters, like Joseph Elbers or Ellsworth Kelly, or big graphic fold patterns. Mm-hmm. It's just, I like the comparison between the two. And the Amish quilts, they're modern contemporary no matter when they've been made. They're beautiful, simple, and elegant.
To describe, you were talking about the Matisse quilts and making more than one. How do you start with that? Is it looking at a painting and getting inspired by that? Is it that kind of the cutouts and the
cutouts with Matisse thing? It's just a challenge. I don't plan the drawing out. I don't lay them out. I just start cutting fabric. It's my scissors and my box of scraps, and I just start sewing stuff together. And they don't always line up properly. They don't look exactly like the picture. They just sort of, they're like sketches, they just kind of happen freeform, whatever happens with them. They are what they are, and it's a work in progress, so we'll see what happens with them. They're just fun to do.
How do you feel about machine quilting versus hand quilting and long arm quilting? Do you do your own machine quilting? How do you finish a quilt?
Yeah, I'm hesitant machine quilter. I don't have the time to hand quilt all my quilts. I do use long armers because I love to get my quilts finished, and sometimes there's people who can do that much better than I can. I do, when I have a quilt that I really, really, really love, I have to do it myself.
And that's usually, is that usually on a regular sewing machine then?
Yeah, I just have a regular Juki straight stitch machine. It's the only thing I have.
So you're not one of those dedicated quilters with 8 sewing machines?
Yeah, it goes together. I have about 5 plain sewing machines back there. They're all straight stitch.
Why is quilt making important to your life?
I like that they are going to be around a lot longer than I am, really. I like that my daughter is watching me put these together, and that she's going to make memories just
from watching these quilts come together. I love that I'm passing it on to her. She has a little bit of an interest in it. She's done a few quilts. So I enjoy that. I'm curious to see what will happen, if she will continue to do it, if it'll stay in the family, keep going.
And she's how old?
She's 11.
In what ways do you think your quilts reflect your community or your region? What do you think, here's a big one, what do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
The importance of it, well, the utilitarian aspect of them, what they've grown from, people out of necessity, using up what they have, all of that, the reason quilts are made to begin with, it's all true now, again, either from being green or, you know, using up what you have and not being as wasteful. Everything that a quilt started from originally is as true then as it is now. And I think it's
awesome. Where do you see yourself going as a quilter? Do you have goals? Is it just you take it as it comes?
I really take it as it comes. I don't obsess over making a perfect quilt. I'm not sure that I can do that. I don't think I want to do that. But I prefer to learn from each quilt that I do and move on to the next and see what happens, see where it grows. I have felt recently that my work is sort of changing, but I think it's just being more open to more possibilities and going back and learning and trying other things that I haven't done. And I just kind of let it happen and see where it's going to lead me. Now I'm doing a lot more handwork than I have ever done before, and I don't know, I'm curious to see where that goes.
Are you teaching others as well?
I haven't started teaching handwork yet. I have a couple websites where I'm kind of showing my process and what I do, and there's been quite a few people who've enjoyed playing along with that and using that also as a way, you know, the way of building something from nothing. And in using that to spark them, and that's been fun to watch other people get the enjoyment out of that as well.
Do you see yourself, or would like to be a sort of a style maker, a taste maker, a leader in the craft and the art of quilting?
I don't think so. I just love to do it. I have to make as an artist, you know, whether it's if I'm painting or drawing or making a quilt or making dinner or learning how to do something else. It's always about making. I need to do that. One of my sites, 15 Minutes of Play, started because of that. It was being a new mom when you have no time for yourself. Sometimes you only had 15 minutes. Just for your sanity as an artist, I needed to do something at least 15 minutes a day for myself. And so that's sort of a concept that I keep with me all the time, that I do need to make constantly. So that's all I get, it's 15 minutes, so I'll take it.
The constitutional imperative. Mm-hmm. So now is that set 15 minutes to play, is that what it's called?
15 minutes play.
15 minutes play, and is that still active?
Yeah, very much. So I have 100 players on the site. And we're constantly just challenging each other and giving each other inspiration and supporting each other and giving each other feedback and just playing and see what happens. Like, you don't always have to have a plan where you're going. It's fine if you have a plan, but often it's been when people are trying to find a new way to tap into their creative process. You know, if you're looking at something in a different way, and that's kind of what we've been doing.
So it's interesting because you are about the making, but you're also about the making of community, it seems. And is that group the players of your group?
It has become definitely a community, as well as the Modern Guild has become. It's been hugely about community. You know, people come together and want to share what they're doing and get feedback and praise for the hard work that they put into something.
and the amount of people that I've met through that and the friends that I've made in that, I mean, that's, there's just nothing better than that. So to have people around that get what you're doing and want to do the same thing, and they get that same spark in their eye about what they've done, and they know that you get it. It's great.
So that the play, 15 minutes play, is not just quilting. It can be the challenges.
No, it's quilting.
It is quilting.
We're constantly coming with different challenges to approach your work in a different way.
Could you share some of the challenges that you think have been most fun or interesting?
Well, we just did a solid, just strictly using solids. Some people just hadn't done that. And so we used artwork, paintings as inspiration, and they used only solid fabrics and made quilts, and we swapped them. That was one of the challenges recently. We challenged people to come up with how to write a tutorial for a quilt block. Some people can do that or can't do that. So that was a challenge. And another one we had done was,
it sounds like fun. Do you, how much time do people have?
I'm sorry?
How much time do they have to complete the challenge?
Usually a month or two.
That sounds great. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that is affecting quilt makers today?
For everybody, you know, there always seems to be maybe people having issues with being labeled a certain type of quilter instead of just being inclusive and appreciating the craft. I think that's what I hear most of all, particularly in the modern field now. Art quilters have already gone through that. You know, everyone's trying to find their place, and I think we're just quilters. We're all quilters. We all want to make stuff. So good. That's enough. I'm good at that.
Well, I want to thank Victoria for letting us conduct this interview today. We're concluding the interview at 8:25 p.m. And thank you so much, Victoria. Thank you.